Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage. It's day 16 in the trial of Alex Murdaugh. Let's head back to the courtroom.
Very good. You may proceed.
Special Agent David Owen, we stopped at right before we were talking about the interview on August 11th. Can you tell the ladies and gentlemen, the jury, who was at that interview? Who participated in that interview?
Alex Murdaugh and Corey Fleming.
And prior to playing the video, was this a voluntary statement?
Yes, it was.
Okay. The defendant was not in custody?
No, he was not.
He's free to leave?
Yes, he was.
Was there because he wanted to be there?
Yes, sir.
Did he tell you he wanted to ask some questions?
Yes, he did.
Did you tell him you wanted to ask him some questions?
Yes, I did.
Your Honor, we have redacted the last part of this video with consent of both parties. What's contained on 517 includes the video without the redaction, and we now offer 517, I believe, without objection.
So admit it.
Permission to publish, if someone would please. And before we get started, please, who is Corey Fleming?
Corey Fleming was a defense attorney out of Buford area, also a friend of Alex Murdaugh's.
Did you know him prior to this?
No, sir, I did not.
Corey Fleming?
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Who's down to your right? Jeff Croft, who's testified. Jeff, are you still in here? There, is that here in the back?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What time is this?
It indicates 9:50. The time was incorrect on our recording system. But my notes, my report indicates it was approximately 11:09 a.m.
Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry, Judge. One of the jurors is requesting something, Judge.
This is the DVD that you posted down so you can see it, and that box doesn't block on the other side. Of
Doing good, man. Can't complain. I'm ready to see some cool weather.
Came back from the engine. I'm fine yesterday. I thought so.
I love your life. From me, too.
To the left of Mr. Murdaugh, I know we've got an inset smaller, but to the left of Mr. Alex Murdaugh, the defendant, is that Corey Fleming?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Thank you.
It was brutal at my house last week. The air conditioner went out.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Are you spelling your name with two M's or one?
One.
Alec, I appreciate you coming in today. I know we got a lot to talk about. I know you have bands questions. But before we get started with your questions, this has been going on for over 2 months. And we've done a lot of work.
I know you have.
And I've got some more questions that I need clarifications on.
Sure.
Okay. So we'll start with that.
Wait a minute.
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay. Maybe I'm mistaken. Mm-hmm. I thought we were coming here so you can update him on what's going on.
And I intend to do that.
Let's do that first.
Okay.
Let's do that first.
The update is I'm doing the investigation, and I have some questions that I need. I would like some answers to. And I mean, certainly, if you know, I ask the question. If you don't want to answer it, you don't have to answer it.
No, I'm fine with that.
Okay. I mean, it's more clarifications of the two interviews you've already given me. I
totally understand.
Okay.
Just wait 1 second.
Yeah.
Wait 1 second. All right. I need for you to tell me, are you going to give us information? Or are we just here for you to ask questions?
No, I'm going to give you some information.
Right. Why can't you give us information first?
Some of the information that you're asking about are in my questions. And as we go through, you'll see.
Okay.
I know you don't, but
I can't. I mean, I'm a friend, but I'm also a lawyer, and I like to know what we're doing. I like to understand what we're talking about. You know,
I need you to
answer this question.
Okay.
Are you asking him questions to further your investigation, or are you asking him questions because you think that he's a suspect? I need a straight answer.
I am asking these questions to further my investigation.
All right. Does that mean that you're not asking him these questions as a suspect?
Good. Say it.
Because I'm not comfortable with you asking him questions as a suspect when I came here with the thought that you were going to be telling him where you are in the investigation, what it is you've done, seen, uncovered, whatever. That's why we came here.
Well, let me respond to your question.
Yeah.
It may not be a direct answer that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And I've told Alec this when we first met. Any homicide investigation, mm-hmm. you start with the closest person and or the person who found the deceased.
Mm-hmm.
Both cases, that's Alec.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody stays in that investigation until we can get them out. And right now, because of the questions that I have that I need explanations for, I cannot get Alec out.
Okay. All right. That's a reasonable statement. I don't have any problem with that statement. That's fine. I don't read it, but everybody in the United States of America has an opinion on this case.
Mm-hmm.
And because I know everybody, I know it's a bunch of bullshit. I can't imagine that y'all are going to be asking about nonsense in the internet.
No.
Right.
No.
Right.
Well, I mean, just like you, I'm aware of what's out there.
Yeah.
I have not read every article. I don't care to read every article because they're not doing the investigation.
That's right.
I am.
That's right. That's right. All right. Well, you know, Alec, if you're comfortable and you feel okay,
yes,
then that's fine.
Do anything to help.
All right. That's fine.
So I'm going to go back to Monday morning. And you went to the office.
Okay.
What time did you go to the office? Who was at your house when you left? And what time did you go to the office?
We had been to a ball game that weekend. I don't remember exactly what time it would have been. Somewhere between 8:30 and 9:30, probably. Okay. 10 o'clock maybe, okay, at the latest.
Okay.
Something like that.
And when I ask about time, I'm not saying, you know, it was 5:11 or something like that. I just
totally understand.
I mean, ballpark.
That's
as close as you can get to it.
And if you need to know exactly when, there would be a keypad that will tell when exactly I went in my office.
Okay.
That I can get for you.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. So you have a key fob to get in your office.
A card.
A card.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
But, you know, a little bit, you know, it was probably a little bit on the later side of that. I guess I know Maggie got up early to get out of there because she had an appointment in Charleston. Just don't remember if I left right after she did or I piddled around.
Okay. But, and I already know that Paul stayed at John Marvin's that night, so it was just you and Maggie at the house.
That's correct.
Okay. And I know when you were at the office, you were working on motions, and some of those motions you dealt with were for Paul's, the boat accident, or the boat case.
I'm not really doing the legal work.
I understand. But, you know, you're Paul's dad, you're a lawyer, you're definitely going to know what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, so what were those motions? I mean, did it deal with Parker's, or was it the actual boat accident, or?
It was the civil case.
Okay. What time did you leave and get home?
Earlier than normal. I'd say 5:30.
That's when you left the office?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What time did Paul get home that night?
Me and Paul got there about the same time. Maybe he was a little bit later than me, or maybe a little bit earlier than me, but it was close to the same time.
Okay. And y'all rode around the farm. I believe you said two different trucks, or two different vehicles.
Yes, sir.
What were those two different vehicles?
We rode in the white pickup truck, and we rode in the black pickup truck.
And either one of those, did you see any long guns? And take your time.
It's okay.
Did you see any rifles or shotguns?
I don't remember seeing any that day, no. We did have pistols.
Yeah, because I know you said you went to target practice.
Well, not really target practice, okay, just shoot.
Yeah.
We rode around for a couple hours, just looked at everything. All the stuff Paul did on the farm. And, we just spent, you know, time together. I'm sorry.
No, I apologize.
I can do it.
All right.
wanted to look at the sunflowers because he was worried about the sunflowers. Mm-hmm. That was the first thing we looked at. And then we just rode. We just rode and looked at it. I mean, we hadn't done it in a while. But we just rode, talked, and rode, talked.
What you talk about?
Everything, you know, just... One of the main things, he'd been having trouble, his feet had swelled up, and we were worried about blood pressure and stress on him, and I mean, he handled all this stuff so amazingly, but I mean, we were just so worried about it. But I mean, we talked about that, we talked about the farm, we just talked about everything.
Has Paul been seeing a doctor for his feet?
No, sir.
Are y'all trying to get him to go?
Trying to get him to go.
And he was resistant?
Yeah, he had been resistant, but much less so after his feet swelled up. I mean, he'd been having all kind of little problems, but much less after his feet swelled up.
As parents, I'm sure you and Maggie stayed on him about going. How did he respond to you?
To going out?
No, going to the doctor.
He did.
When y'all talked about it.
He's very resistant. Very, very resistant. I mean, we talked to him about seeing a doctor, about stresses of everything with the boat wreck. He didn't think he needed to do that. I mean, we tried to watch him really closely. But he was resistant.
What time did Maggie get back home that night?
Later. I'd say probably, the best I can tell, a couple hours after after we got there.
When y'all returned, when you and Paul returned back to the house, was Maggie there?
I can't remember if Maggie came by the shed when Paul and I were up there, or if we met her at the house. But, you know, it's not unusual for her, if we're messing around, for her to swing through up there. Mm-hmm. And Maggie was supposed to be coming home. I've since found out she was worried about me. And me worried about my dad. And so she came home.
So at that point in the interview, she said, did he tell you she came home because she was worried about his dad?
Yes.
Basis for the objection.
Leading, he just repeating what the jury just heard on the video.
Yes, sir.
God, I can play it and come back and ask him to clarify that. That's all. Go ahead, please.
Supposed to be coming home. I've since found out she was worried about me and me worried about my dad. Mm-hmm. And so she came home.
Where was she going to stay that night?
At Edisto. We were having work done down there. And I wasn't 100%, but it's pretty well she was going to stay at Edisto.
So it kind of surprised you that she came back?
That didn't totally surprise me. She'd let me know earlier that she was coming home. But then I found out later why she came home.
She was concerned for you?
Sir.
What time did y'all sit down and eat dinner?
Not too long after that. Blanc had made dinner. And so the three of us ate dinner together.
What was the conversation around the dinner table?
Normal. Regular stuff. I mean, I can't tell you exactly, but
How was Maggie's appointment in Charleston that day?
I think it had gone good. We didn't really, we didn't really get a chance to talk about it in detail. She's been having a couple little medical issues. I can't even remember which one. It wasn't anything huge. I can't remember exactly which one she went for.
And after dinner, Maggie and Paul went to the kennels, or?
You know, I don't know exactly how that went. I stayed on the couch and I dozed off. And then I got up.
Did you watch TV that night?
I know the TV was, I believe the TV was on. But I wasn't watching it.
Can we stop right there, please? And I'm not going to ask you to
repeat that, but this next question regarding a tree video, had you confronted him with that before?
No, sir, I had not.
Okay, please go ahead.
There is a video on Paul's phone of you and him on the farm that night, and you were in khaki pants and a dress shirt. You were playing with a tree.
I don't remember playing with a tree.
Yeah. I guess there was a tree sapling or something that was had fallen over or bending over, and you were trying to get it to stand back, stand up. The question in that is, when I met you that night, you were in shorts and a t-shirt. At what point in that evening did you change clothes?
I'm not sure. It would have been
before dinner or after dinner?
No, it would have been. What time of day was that? I would have thought I had already changed.
There is not a time.
Is he asking you now what time that picture was?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'm staff on it because there's so many posts, but I want to say it looks to be about dusk. So that would have been 7:30, 8 o'clock.
I guess that changed when I got back to the house.
Earlier when we spoke, and you talked about waking up from your nap and then going to check on your mother, and you tried to call Maggie and you tried to call Paul, and then you sent Maggie a text that you were going to check on your mother. You also told me that Maggie didn't normally go with you to check on your mother, but that she might ride that night. Did you go by and check on her?
Go by and check on my mom?
Maggie, before you left to go?
No, I didn't.
With her not responding to you and thinking that she might ride with you, why didn't you?
I don't remember having plans that Maggie was going to ride with me, but maybe she had told me that she was that night. I don't recall that. I don't remember that specifically, but she didn't normally go with me. I mean, it's not like we had plans that she was going to ride with me, or that she was going.
Google.
Okay.
escape from Moselle to your mom's?
I would have gone to the right on Moselle Road, 63, into Barnville, turned left on the road right before 278, 601, and then in front of the school, turn right, as I believe I went.
You said right on Moselle to 63.
No, sir, right on Moselle. Yep. Normal way, right on Moselle to Dobson Road.
Okay.
Dobson Road to 63, 63 into Barnville, left on whatever the road is that goes to the school. Right, and then either 63 or left on the road that goes down and then on 63.
How often did you go visit your mother that night?
I mean, it wasn't infrequent.
Okay.
It wasn't all the time. I mean, visit her, you know, all times of day.
Yeah. Just checking on her, especially with your dad being sorry.
She had been having a particularly, you know, she's got Alzheimer's really bad, or pretty bad. And she had been particularly agitated. You know, with him not being there, and checked on her more in the days and weeks following my dad's passing, and, you know, otherwise, but several times a week, you know, any time.
How long would you say you were at your mom's that night?
45 minutes, an hour.
Had you talked to Shelley Smith at this point?
She had been interviewed, yes. I had not spoken with her by that time.
5 minutes to an hour?
Yes, sir.
Please go.
You know, I took her back home. Did you make any stops on the way?
On the way there?
On the way to your mom's work on your return trip back home.
Stops? No, I didn't go anywhere. I went straight there. I did not. No, sir.
Okay. When, earlier in the day when you were down at that shed in the kennels with Paul, did y'all discuss any injuries to any dogs?
Did he and I? No, but Rogan Gibson told me about the dog's tail. And somebody saying his leg was broken.
Stop it, please.
Which one
is his dog?
Can you turn up Mr. Orange's volume?
Video?
Yes. Or turn up the volume.
Did he and I? No, but Rogan Gibson told me about the dog's tail.
Okay.
And and somebody saying his leg was broken.
So right here in the interview, your question was, did Paul tell you that? So did he deny that he'd had a conversation with Paul about that?
He never said he had a conversation.
What, if anything, did he say about whether he'd had a conversation with Paul about that?
He didn't indicate that he had a conversation with Paul. He said he had a conversation with Rogan Gibson.
That he'd heard that from Rogan?
Yes, sir.
Which one's his dog?
It's a chocolate puppy, I think.
Okay. Was the leg broken?
Not that I know of.
I can certainly see why something might be wrong with his tail, because when I was out there, he was chasing his tail and looking through the fence and trying to grab it.
Yes, sir.
That was kind of a puppy energy. When you got back to Moselle, which driveway did you enter?
I went in the brick gates.
Brick gates. So. And Maggie and Paul weren't there. Were there vehicles at the house?
Yes, sir.
How did they get down there that night?
I was hoping you were going to be able to tell me that.
The only thing that I can come up with is that black truck. Is that Buster's old black truck?
Yes, sir.
Does it normally stay down at the farm, or does it stay at the house?
Both.
Did Maggie ever walk down there?
Maggie walked down there a lot. But Paul, I mean, if you showed me some proof that Paul walked down there that night, I would be surprised. Absolutely surprised.
Well, thinking about Paul's health concerns, do you think Maggie could have gotten him to walk that night? Say, come on, let's walk with me this one time.
You know, it's possible, but again, that would be highly, highly unusual. He would have talked her in the ride. Been highly unusual for him to walk.
So when you were at the kennels, you were just down there with Paul. You left and went back to the house for dinner.
You know, I mean, Paul and I were just knocking around up at the shop, the shed, the kennels, and just the whole property. And that was before dinner, yes, sir.
And you didn't go back down there after dinner until you returned truck from visiting your mother?
Yes, sir.
That's it. Keep going.
I've got information that Paul's on the phone.
Had you confronted him with what you're about to ask him prior to this?
No, I had not.
And the question you had just asked him, did that deal with whether he went down to the kennels or not after supper?
Correct.
And he said he had not?
He had not.
Maggie was heard in the background, and you were heard in the background, and that was prior to 9 p.m.
I heard Rogan Gibson ask me if I was up there. He said he thought it was me.
Was it you?
At 9 o'clock?
Yes, sir.
No, sir. Not if my times are right.
Who do you think it could have been?
I have no idea.
And Rogan's been around your family for pretty much all his life.
Oh, absolutely.
And he recognizes your voice, and you have a distinct voice. Can you think of anybody else that has a voice similar to yours that he may have misinterpreted?
No, sir. I mean, he... You know, when we were talking, he had asked me that, so... And I mean, he had told me that he thought I was up there.
Did that surprise you?
Yes, sir.
So when you returned back to the kilns, when you returned home from your mom's, where were the dogs?
They were like they were when... Lord, I didn't put dogs up.
Okay.
So
they weren't running loose?
However they were.
Okay. At one point in the 911 call, you say here, like you're talking to somebody else or something else.
I say here?
Here, yes, sir. So the dispatcher is asking you if they're breathing, and you said no. And she asked if did you see anyone else in the area, and you said no. And she asked about guns near them, and you said no. And then you kind of stutter and start moving around, and you say here.
I don't have any memory of saying that. I guess I'd have to listen to it to, you know, but I don't recall a dog being out. I'm certain that there was not a dog out. You know, I mean, there's other things people have told me about that 911 call that I don't remember. I don't know here. Okay. Like I was calling a dog.
Calling a dog, talking to somebody else. I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
Yes, sir. And I mean, that obviously was nobody else out there.
Okay.
And I'm certain that there was not a dog loose. I don't remember saying anything about Buster would know. Something about threats.
Mm-hmm.
I was asked about that later. If I had information about, or if Buster had information about threats that I had said he would know.
Anything new about any threats against Paul or your family?
Nothing really new, no sir. Outside of things that Randy's told you or, you know, there was just so many things on the internet that, you know, just nothing new, no sir.
So during the 911 call, and we also talked about that this night. That night, you returned back to the house to get a shotgun.
Yes, sir.
What door did you enter?
The best that I can remember, I went in the side door, and I went straight to the gun cabinet.
Were you focused on any particular shotgun, or you just grabbed one?
I just grabbed one.
How do you normally load your shotguns? Avid hunters load shotguns in special ways. different types of munitions, and I'm just seeing how, asking you how you load yours.
I mean, I normally put it in the chamber and push the button.
What types? What type of shot do you load?
All kinds. I mean, I've loaded bird shot, buck shot, slugs, skeet shot.
At the same time? I mean, would you load like a bird shot and a buck shot in the same load?
Not normally. I mean, normally you're putting in, you know, a load for whatever you're hunting. Mm-hmm.
The reason I'm asking about that, the shot shells that we recovered that night, one was a turkey load, one was a buckshot.
I understood that.
The shotgun that you had with you that night, there was a bird shot and a buckshot. When Jeff went back the next day, I'm not sure which attorney it was, pointed out that there had been a shotgun laying on the pool table that he had put away, and pointed out that ammunition that was with that, and it was a buckshot and a birdshot. And then the shotgun that we took for potential comparison, it was also loaded with a birdshot and a buckshot. So I have all of these consistent loads along with what's that in the feed room. I call it the feed room at the kennels. Is that what you call it?
That's okay. Good enough.
Okay. If I say feed room, I just want you to know what I'm talking about.
The night I grabbed the shells that I could get my hands on, I had no idea exactly what I had.
Okay. Also, when we talked, I asked you if it was normal to keep guns down at the kennels. And you said you had to check. Have you been able to check to see what was missing from your collection?
I have. Yes, I know what's missing from, what I believe is missing from our guns.
Okay, and what are those?
There's three guns that I think are missing.
Okay. And what kind of guns are those?
It would be a Benelli shotgun, a Browning shotgun, and a pump shotgun.
The Benelli and the Browning, are they pump or autos?
The Benelli and the Browning are automatic.
And the pump shotgun, what brand is that?
I believe it's a Remington, but I'm not positive.
Are they like standard brown and black, all black or camo?
The Benelli is black, the Browning is camo, and the pump is camo.
Would you have those serial numbers recorded anywhere?
I don't have them recorded, but I'm sure. I don't know where the pump shotgun exactly came from, but I should be able to have the Benelli and the Browning.
Okay. Because we don't know if they're stolen or where they are, so I really can't get them entered into NCIC. But
go ahead.
But I could alert the ATF to where if that gun is run, that there would be an alert on it, and it would get me at least back to the gun and the person that may have had it.
Absolutely.
So if we could work on that and get those as soon as possible.
Absolutely.
You said the Benelli's black, the Browning's camo, and the pump is camo?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
The Browning is a brown camo, and the pump is a green camo. And, you know, I understand also that a 300 was used that night, and I know there's been some understand, John Bedingfield said he only had two of those, one of which was lost a long time ago, but I'm telling you now, I am certain that we replaced that gun. Alright?
Actually, John knows that he sold Maggie a third gun.
Okay. Okay.
And the story was that she was supposed to let you know that she paid for it for you to go sign the paperwork. And that never occurred.
Okay. So that's why there wasn't a number? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, he has the number. He just doesn't have a final sale on the ATF paperwork.
Okay. That was replacing the one that Paul
lost, yes.
That's correct.
And both of those 300s, those serial numbers, are with the ATF and flagged in the system. So when they pop up, they're going to get me to those.
Okay.
And that's, you know, we talked about the shot shells. So the cartridge casings were 300 blackout cartridge casings that were found by Mac. There were also cartridge casings found by your house, by the side door to the gun room, and at the shooting range.
Now ask him about shell casings that were found by Maggie. That's Maggie's body, correct?
The cartridge casings found by Maggie, yes.
Had he ever been confronted with this information prior to right now that you know of?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Okay.
Cool. I believe he was, but not by me, I don't think. Okay. That's
Maggie. There were also cartridge casings found by your house, by the side door to the gun room, and at the shooting range. And the ones by the house and some of the ones found at the shooting range are confirmed matches to the ones found by Maggie.
Okay.
So, which gets another concern. I've got the same load as the shot shells in multiple guns and 300 blackout that match ones found on your property.
So you now believe that those guns, that Paul's guns were used?
Yes.
Okay.
And missing.
And I understand that somebody had seen that gun recently, but, you know, and I'd ask Buster about it. I believe that that gun has been gone since back before Christmas. Mm-hmm.
Nolan recalls Paul's first 300 going missing around Halloween at a party at Hampton.
Halloween of 2020?
When did y'all?
No, that because that
no,
was
no, 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 it was
years.
Yeah, it was whatever Christmas he got it. So it was 17. Christmas of 17. So it was the Halloween after in 18 is when Nolan believes it was taken out of Paul's truck. There was, it would take me a while to find those notes, but Mark Williams or Matt Williams is a family friend. And I may have the name wrong, but there was hundreds of people at this Halloween party. Nolan says adults were there, kids were there, and he knows Nolan knows that the gun was in Paul's truck when they got to the party, and when they went to leave the party, it was gone. So that's the timeline on when that gun goes missing.
Okay. I knew it had been a while.
And I think in 19, April of 19 is when?
18.
April of 18.
Christmas of 16, January okay. 17 okay. is when they did the
gotcha.
Work.
Gotcha. Another part in the 911 call, you made the comment, I should have known. And the questioning that's around it, the dispatcher's asking, is anybody else supposed to be at the house? And you said, no ma'am, please hurry. And she says, we're getting somebody out there to you. And your next comment was, I should have known. What are you referencing in that statement?
I don't remember saying that, but I guess, you know, all the threats and, you know, and I had been convinced that this was something to do with the boat wreck and, you know, all of that.
Call or get physical with you? Ever get into a heated argument and get physical?
One time, I mean, a little bit where he wouldn't listen to me.
Did you ever get physical with him?
No, sir.
How about Maggie? Did Paul get physical with Maggie?
No.
Sure, she probably wanted to at times.
I'm sure she wanted to with all of us.
Yeah.
The one time Paul did that, he had had too much to drink, in a very isolated incident.
Where was that? Was that at Moselle or Edisto?
That was at Moselle.
So that was pretty recent?
No, sir. It had been a while.
When you turned Paul over and his cell phone popped out and you picked it up and your statement was something like, I thought about doing something, but then I put it back down. And that was the interview, our first interview. What were your intentions with the phone?
I don't know. I mean, it. When I went up to him and the phone came out, I don't remember having intentions of doing anything with the phone.
Did you say when I went up to him, the phone came out?
Yes.
The phone popped out when you told him to work.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Estimate about how long y'all would have been at the dinner table or ate at the dinner table?
I mean, it wasn't any long, drawn-out dinner. You know, just...
I mean, just a guess. Is it, I mean, you said there was conversation at the dinner table, but...
minutes. How long it takes to. Best guess.
Okay. He, David asked you just earlier about when y'all were riding around the farm. And you said y'all had the pistols in the, or pistol in the truck. Y'all had shot a few times, really not target practice, and shot a few times. You said that you had, on that day, you didn't see any long guns, rifles or shotguns in the vehicle. Prior to that, how long prior to that do you recall seeing guns or any guns in that vehicle?
I mean, Paul always had guns.
Okay.
So. I mean, it was very unusual for Paul not to have guns.
And when you say gun, did rifles or shotguns or?
Everything.
Both?
Okay, yes, sir.
his truck that he normally drove, I believe it was the Platinum, went into the shop that Friday prior to. I think Mark Ball went and got some video from Jimmy Butler's that shows Paul dropping the truck off and not removing anything from it. So basically, he would have taken the rifles out at home. Do you know what he did with those rifles? If he would have put them in a different truck, or if he put them in the house, or would he have? So the truck that he drove, where was it parked on that Friday? So where would he have swapped everything out?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure where the truck that he drove on Friday. What truck did he swap out from?
I think when he went to Charleston, Dale said that he helped hook up the boat to one of the white Fords. And I know one's a gas and one's a diesel.
It wouldn't have been the gas truck going to Charleston. I'm not sure. So this occurred the Friday before everything happened?
Yes, sir.
I'm not sure. On Friday, I had gone to stay in the hospital with my dad. I don't believe that I saw Paul. On Friday.
When did y'all go up to Columbia?
On Saturday.
Why didn't Paul go with y'all?
You know, I mean, Paul, he liked to go to sports when there was a crowd, but that wasn't his thing to go.
Is that always how it's always been, or because of the boat incident?
No. I mean, he wasn't into ball as much.
One thing that I'm trying to understand is your timeline. You said you probably went to the office 8:30, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and you left early around 5 or 5:30. And there's been some other timelines or times that we've talked about and you can't quite remember what the times are, what time of day it was. When the dispatcher asked you when was the last time you saw Maggie or talked to Maggie, he said an hour and a half, 2 hours ago. To me, that's, you know, a set, without thinking about it, you rattled off that time. We're sitting here trying to figure out a timeline.
Your question was, you told the dispatcher hour, 2 hours ago?
Hour and a half to 2 hours.
Hour and a half, 2 hours. What time was the 911 call?
10:06 p.m.
Hour and a half, 2 hours prior to that.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
And you're having trouble coming up with a specific time?
Oh, man, it's fair. Tell me again what I said to the dispatcher.
You said an hour and a half ago, probably 2 hours.
And what time was that?
That was when you were on the phone, and the 911 call was made at 10:06. So given 2 hours back, that would have been 8.
I mean, I think that's probably about... I think that's probably about right.
what do you believe I'm giving you an inconsistent answer?
No, I'm just trying to wrap my mind around it when I'm asking you what time you went to the office that day, what time you got home.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes. At this point in the investigation, did you have the video back from Paul's phone showing the dog at the kennels?
No, sir, I had not.
You said 5 or 5:30. I've gotten the card readout from the law firm, and it shows you going in at 5:30.
Going in the door?
Yes, sir. And Randy says when he left about 6 o'clock, you were still there. So the times aren't matching up. I'm just trying to get an understanding of why.
I believe I left, so that's not the first time I was at my office that day.
There were several readings, but your card wouldn't work. Somebody actually had to let you in.
Okay.
But I've got your card opening the door at the law firm at 5:30. And then Randy's saying when he left at 6, you were still there. I'm trying to understand.
You know, I left the office earlier than I normally do.
What's your normal time to leave?
I mean, it's not unusual for me to be there till dark. You know, I try to get home when Maggie's home, you know, before dark.
She don't like staying out there by herself in dark.
That's right. So, you know, if it was 5:30 or 6, you know, I don't think I was still there at 6 o'clock. Okay. But, you know, if I was, it wasn't long after that.
Okay.
So, you know, I believe that I went straight home. So, you know, my car, have y'all been able to get Chevrolet to download my?
We're still working on that.
Okay.
That's a long process.
Well, I mean, I got home early enough for Paul and I to ride the property for a substantial length of time. You know, more than an hour. I thought probably a couple of hours that we were together, but somewhere.
Took it down the river.
We rode down all the roads, I believe. I believe that we rode all over.
Okay.
We rode all over.
Questions. I know you probably have more, but with my questionings, trying to get some things cleared up, have I given you some answers?
Well, I mean, I do know more than I did, for sure. So, yes, I mean, some of those questions have certainly, yes, sir.
What other questions do you have that?
I would like to know exactly what happened.
Me too. The best that I've been able to put together.
Tell me, looks like. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I believe Paul was shot first. For the simple fact of where he was located.
How many times was he shot?
Twice.
I thought they shot Maggie first because they could tell he shot her in the back of the head.
What? He said he thought they shot Maggie first, or Maggie was shot first?
He thought, Alex stated that he thought Maggie was shot first because she had been shot in the back of the head.
Go ahead.
We may honestly never know who was first, but I think it was Paul, for the simple fact he wouldn't have, if he saw his mother getting shot, he wouldn't have run to that feed room. Unless that's where one of the guns was. But, you know, we've already established family guns were used. And if they came from Paul's truck was at the house. So where were they?
And how did they get down there?
And how did they get down there?
Did you just ask him, we've established family guns were used?
Yes, I did.
Objection's overruled. Proceed.
What was his response?
Sorry.
Would nothing be the answer?
Correct.
Go ahead.
I mean, it's normal for y'all to leave your keys in the cars. However, if somebody showed up and did this, you're not going to take Paul's truck back to the house and leave the key in it.
Indeed.
Just right before that question, please.
And how did they get it down there? You know, we've already established family guns were used. And if they came from Paul's truck was at the house. So where were they?
And how did they get down there?
And how did they get down there? I mean, it's normal for y'all to leave your keys in the cars. However, if somebody showed up and did this, you're not going to take Paul's truck back to the house and leave the key in it.
I mean, do you know that the guns were in the truck? I mean, could they have been somewhere else?
They could have been somewhere else. I mean, he didn't have his normal truck.
And I understand that Nolan Tootin believes he saw the gun 3 weeks beforehand. Mm-hmm. And I haven't talked to him, but believes it was not the one that was at the house.
His shotgun that he always kept, that Paul always kept with him?
Paul primarily kept one of a couple of Benellis.
And yeah, it was a camo Benelli. It's the last one that Paul, that Nolan saw.
Okay.
And a HDD, some type of 7mm rifle?
Yes, sir.
Do you have that one at home?
Yes, sir. That's what he saw?
That's what he saw.
Because I was told by somebody that Nolan saw a 300.
He told me he had not seen a 300 since March after turkey season.
Okay, well, somebody.
Those were the go-to guns, and those were the last ones that he saw.
And
Benelli. He had not seen the 300 since March during turkey season.
And he definitely saw it during turkey season?
Yes, sir.
because there was some point, you know, back when it was missing at Christmas time.
The third one's missing at Christmas time?
Yes, sir. So, anyway, if he saw it in March,
did y'all get any kind of forensic off of anything that y'all found? Just the rain and the...
Yeah. I mean, we got plenty of DNA from the scene, but...
Yeah.
It's Nolan's, it's Rogan's, it's Alex, it's Paul's, it's Maggie's, it's Buster's.
Everybody's been...
Yeah.
David, can you tell me for sure? Did either one of them live after they were shot the first time?
Not long.
What does that mean?
The shooting happened very quickly. Very quickly.
Is this one person, two persons, three persons?
Is that the first time he's ever asked you that?
Yes, sir.
Ever?
That I recall, yes.
In the whole investigation at this point?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Got two guns. I got two different types of ammunition. It's hard to say. It is hard to say.
Not in either one of them, so very long.
Matter of seconds, if that.
Get anything in Paul's phone that might lead to anybody but a beef? Let me ask you this question. It comes from Randy.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't talk to you about this, but
it's okay.
You know, they got a lot of friends mm-hmm. in the community. You know, from the upper echelon to the lowest socioeconomic level.
Mm-hmm.
They think that they can ask people to keep ears out, you know, loose lips, mm-hmm. talking, that kind of stuff, but they don't want to reach out to anybody, not close, unless y'all think it's okay. I'm not talking about paying people to do stuff yeah. for investigators.
Yeah. Well, I've talked to Randy about this as well. He posed okay. that question to me.
Right.
I'm not going to ask anybody in a law firm or anybody in the family, hey, go out and see what you can find and report back to me.
Sure.
Because then it can be construed as they're working as an agent of the state.
Sure.
And
I understand that completely. You don't even have to explain that. Yeah. I understand it.
So, I mean, I told Randy, I said, I certainly can't stop you from going out. But I wouldn't ask them what they know and then report back to me. Tell them to call me.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them to call the tip line we have still set up.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you hear somebody talking about it, mm-hmm. encourage them to call. Or give me the name and I'll go call.
Okay. I hear what you're saying.
So, David, we don't have not anything substantive that really makes you think, hey, this is a good...
We don't, like I said, the only DNA we have are family and close friends. We don't have any fingerprints. Unfortunately, we don't have any shoe wear or tire wear impressions because it rained that night. The only thing that we can go off of are the cell tower dumps or I know the FBI was out, and they were out on your property on Friday riding around trying to get some cell phone data. Unfortunately, all of that takes time.
And y'all, now, y'all had to send the, because his vehicle's new, you had to send that off?
Yes, sir.
So it's not like when we hire experts and they come in and just download it?
It's 2021, and they don't have the systems for it yet.
Gotcha.
But they're working, they're creating a system, from what I understand.
Okay. Now, I don't know exactly how the OnStar thing works. I know how the control module works. But this is something different, right? Or is it all contained in the same thing?
There are two different systems that we took out.
Yeah.
One is OnStar, and the other one is the telemetry system or infotainment center.
Yeah.
And the FBI says there is information there.
Yeah.
They just have to be able to extract it and put it in a report.
Sure.
Okay.
So you're just waiting for that?
I'm waiting on the search warrant from OnStar.
Okay.
To see what kind of information they can give me.
Good.
Well, you need us signing something expedites that.
Mm-hmm.
I told you we'll
I
don't own the car, but whoever we need to will sign whatever authorization you need.
So you had said that, or maybe Jim told me or something about y'all were able to get a pulse phone just with a search warrant.
We have a what they call a partial download.
Yeah.
Because we don't have the passcode.
Sure.
We can't do a full extraction.
Do you think so? You know, my thought was that I don't know who's required to authorize Apple to open it.
Mm-hmm.
I know there was that big thing where they weren't going to do it.
Yes, sir.
For whatever case. But I thought that if we, I think Maggie owned the phone. I think it was in her name. The account was in her name.
Well, you have to have your own separate iCloud account for each phone. And we've done that for Maggie's, Paul's, and Alex.
Okay.
iCloud accounts.
Yeah.
To see if there's anything in there.
Yeah.
There was nothing in Paul's. I'm still waiting on Maggie's.
Okay. Maggie did back hers up.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff. I know that.
Does that mean Paul didn't back his up?
Probably.
Damn. But my thought was, and I don't know if this is even possible, but if we get the estate and we get the personal representative who is now the authorized person to authorize it to be opened. I mean, surrounded by 100 lawyers, we get a probate done like that, and I can have the powers of appointment done in 2 days, and we can authorize whatever it is you need to open.
And that might be beneficial.
So
I know, I think Randy and I, or somebody and I, talked about that before.
Yeah, well, and I said I'd do it. Any of us can do it.
Yeah.
Who
would be the representative? Just somebody at a law firm?
Probably one of your brothers, I would think.
Oh, for Maggie and Paul's estate?
Yeah.
Probably me, or...
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
my brothers, but whoever it is, it doesn't matter. Whoever it is will do whatever y'all need to do to... It won't be anybody that'll be uncooperative.
Okay. Well, I mean, if y'all would go ahead and start working on that, then we'll reach out to Apple and figure out how we get that accomplished.
All right. Because gotta be something there.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta be something there. I can't think of anything else. I mean, have y'all had to track down all the wackos on the internet? Or just only the ones that you think seem a little more secure? Not the opportunity and the inclination, you know.
There's been a few that I'm looking at.
Yeah.
But some of the information is just so far fetched.
Mm-hmm.
I talked with one guy. He called in and says, "Well, I knew that Maggie's son bought a house right around the corner." I'm like, "Okay, well, no, they didn't."
Yeah.
That Maggie had left her husband some time ago and was going to move to Florida to be closer to her father because the mother was dead. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, thank you, God. Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, people that want to get involved.
Yeah.
People that think they have some information. Mm-hmm. And especially the matter of death. Mm-hmm. They're all over the place.
Well, I mean, yeah, y'all been taking a licking in the press about not disclosing stuff, but Jesus Christ, man.
I don't have anything to disclose.
Well, and you know, why are you going to tell the bad guy what you got?
Thank you.
You know? I mean, I just don't understand it. I mean, look.
Nobody wants to know more than this man right here and this man right here.
I know.
Everybody else.
I believe that.
Everybody else. Mm-hmm.
David, how far apart in time would the shot? Either one of them know the other one was dead or had been shot?
I think it's impossible to answer that question. I think it is impossible.
But you certain Papa shot first?
I believe he was. I'm not certain. I believe he was.
Maggie would have known that then, wouldn't she? You don't know how soon afterwards she was shot?
And it all depends on how many shooters were there. I mean, if we're looking at two shooters, it could have happened at the same time. If we're looking at one shooter, it would have happened. And I know you can't help but think about it, but don't beat yourself up over getting an answer. It's not going to do anything to you.
When I ask you, now that you've talked to me, are you willing to, if some of my family, Maggie's mom and dad or sister, are you willing to talk to them?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And I'll meet them where they want to.
It would be easy to meet them closer to them.
Yeah. No, I mean, I live in Charleston, so it's nothing for me to shoot up to Somerville and meet with the Brandsetters.
Thank you. I know y'all are doing everything you can. And I don't take any personal offense at asking me these questions. I know you got to do what you got to do.
Well, I mean, and I hate to give any credence to the media, but with the media keep throwing you in there, then...
You got to ask the questions.
If I can get every bit of evidence possible, that's going to exonerate...
When you get my car stuff, that'll help.
Alan, you said earlier Maggie didn't like staying out there by herself.
Yes, sir.
Was there any kind of, I know we asked you once before in one of the earlier interviews about cameras, and have y'all talked about doing any kind of camera system out there, you know, stuff getting missing, you know, Maggie talking about stuff getting missing. We're hearing that type of stuff, so.
We never really had problems with stuff missing, but we still talked about getting, you know, cameras and, you know, doing all of that, but we just hadn't done it. We talked about it for a while.
But not really any conversation about stuff up and walking away or getting missing between you and Maggie.
Any conversations between me and Maggie about stuff?
You and Maggie, or you and Paul, either one about stuff that had been missing or had somebody came up and taken from the bar or from the house or anything like that?
Only thing that I can remember being discussed missing was some drills and some Milwaukee tools.
How long ago was that?
Couple of
it was since CB got hired, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Because that was one of the things Paul, when he was looking for him, was going to ask CB. And I'd had a boy working out there for just a short period named Matt Luce, is that the first time you've heard his name?
The last name, yeah. I've heard the different Matt.
Matt Luce. I think it's spelled L-U-C-E.
And he basically did what CB does now?
No.
Or something?
He came in and was, you know, just trying to, because I didn't have anybody working out there, just to kind of keep things from getting totally out of control. Mm-hmm. He came in and, you know, he does that for another friend, works with another friend, and he's just kind of coming in to help me, you know, probably I believe he probably would have been there in the late fall, probably, I'm guessing.
Is he from Hampton or Waltsboro?
He's from Beaufort, I believe, originally, but he lives up in, he lives between Beaufort and, I'm trying to think of the name of the plantation that my friend Barrett Bowler has. That's who he works for.
Barrett Bowler?
Yeah, Junior. It's Bowler, is how it looks.
B-O-U-L-W-E-R-E.
Can Tom Bowler
Tom Bowler, yes, sir. He's, he was like one of my granddaddy's contemporaries. And now there's a Tom Bowler that's kind of just retired. And they are, I think that's, they're kin, but not super close.
How old is Matt? Ish.
I'd say he's 35. Something like that. Maybe.
Do you still have his number?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I have his number in my phone.
Where'd you go?
I had to step out and use the restroom.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
you guys send it to me, we'll have it.
That you bought for the Christmas presents, they were matching set, right? Other than color. Am I right about that?
Yes, sir. They were exactly the same.
With thermal night vision and stuff like that. The one that you purchased to replace the lost one, did it have any kind of optics on it? Night vision scope, anything like that?
It doesn't have a night vision scope. You know, and I don't know if Paul had put something on it. He would move scopes around from gun to gun to gun. But I'm not. Oh.
Then we're going to break for lunch. Turn at 2:20.
That wraps up our third segment of continuing coverage in the trial of Alec Murdaugh here, day number 16 on the 15th of February, 2023. My name is Tony Bruschi. There's much more to come. Stay with us.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.